This is the Day Zero update for November 6th, 2016. I'm Filippo D'Alfa.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And it's been kind of a stacked week this week. It's been BlizzCon, Sega's been in the news again, a lot of stuff going on. So, we're going to have a very interesting show to, it's going to be a lot to talk about. And before we get to that, though, we should probably catch up a little bit on, what's been going on this week for us, because I'm sure we've gotten some gaming in here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've been finishing off Rock Band Rivals, so I'm going to try to get that review done later today. I said that last week, but that didn't kind of happen, so yeah. So I want to finish that, and I've been partaking of the GOG sale.
Oh man, isn't that something this time?
Oh man, yeah. I got the Forgotten Realms Archives 1, 2, and 3, so all the games that I remember playing when I was back then, so got all those for $30, well, even less than that, actually. And ended up with two free games to go along with it, so, hey. Can't complain there. I'm like, I think 2,000 points away from tier 3 of the free one, which is Victor Brand. But yeah, I'm not really too worried about that one because I have it on Steam. So yeah, but yeah, got a lot of very good sales. I like the whole build your bundle thing where you can just pick the games you want and the discount mounts as you add more of them. So
that's all the reason I never touched the bundles in GOG stuff before, because it's like, I'll have this and this and this, and at that point, I shouldn't even buy the bundle.
Yeah.
The discount isn't that good.
Yeah. But now it's just, well, okay, you still get a discount at least for, even if you only buy a couple of them, so that's kind of cool. And there's also publisher bundles and, other weird kind of bundles that they're doing. They're, like, hidden. So just add random stuff to your cart, and then when you checks out, it turns into a bundle of some kind. I'm not sure, entirely sure how they manage that, but hey, it's a very interesting sale. I like this company. They've always been good, and they offer refunds if you're not happy with what you purchased. So, yeah,
they're slacking on XP. Someone's almost got 1 million XP from this sale.
He's like bought all the things, apparently.
He's only checked in 3 of the 4 days as well. So he's making his days count.
Yeah.
Getting about 250,000 per day.
Yeah. So I think he's just like bought all of the things. So yeah, that's been.
I wish you could look at their profiles.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what exactly he's spending all his money on.
Probably Witcher and all the new stuff, And you get quite a bit of XP for the newer stuff. So,
yeah, because it's based on the money you spend.
Yeah. Plus, if you use a wallet, it's 10% extra. So
yeah, 30,000, almost 30,000 XP for the Game of the Year edition for Witcher 3.
Yeah. So it's pretty. If you buy a few of those, you probably rack up those XP pretty easily. So how about you, Pat? What you been up to?
Heaven's Ward as usual. Finally stepping up my crafting, because I've been ignoring that for far too long.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Leatherworker and Blacksmith.
Nice.
So, yeah, if you need help gearing up, talk to me.
You know what? I'm supposed to be saving money, but fuck this. I will, I'll re-up for a membership. You're starting work tomorrow. Damn it.
No. And what am I going to be doing when I get home?
Well, this is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
I've been telling you need to get back on here.
I didn't take that long of a break, but yeah, I do.
And then, other than that, I should probably be getting back to Drive Club soon, too. Since I've just been dumping content upon content into it. The release of VR.
Mm. Yeah, although that's a different game, though.
Yeah, it's separate.
Well, Drive Club Classic is getting the urban courses from VR.
Oh.
And I think they already got them.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Not bad for a game that doesn't have a development team.
Yeah, and the update is nearly 20 gigs, so I'm guessing that's
a lot of... That's a lot of stuff.
I'm guessing that's what's folded into there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that they kind of did that on the sneak, but yeah, they're just dumping content into it.
Hmm.
So that would definitely be worth going back to.
Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe they're just going to merge the two so they only have to deal with one code base, which would kind of be the smart thing to do, sense. But, you know.
Probably simplifies it for the VR part of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's, as soon as I finally get that update, that's going to be a thing I'd spend some time with, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How about you, Brandon?
Well, first and foremost, I have gotten and am in a pretty good way through Trails of Cold Steel.
Nice.
I finished Chapter 3 last night. So, I kind of went over it sort of over in during the Let's Weekend. But I'll go ahead and sort of reiterate what I said there. First of all, this game grabbed me a lot quicker than Trails in the Sky did. I mean, I like Trails in the Sky a lot, but this one just has a better beginning.
Trails in the Sky was kind of a slow burn at first.
Yeah. Plus, maybe the 3D has something to do with it. Yeah, so, you know, Trails in the Sky takes place in the Liberal Kingdom, and this one you're in the Erebonian Empire. You're playing a bunch of teenagers at a military academy, Thor's military academy. And I don't know what it is about the whole school story aspect, but for some reason when it comes to RPGs, that always grabs me. I don't know why. It just does. It's easily relatable for some reason, I guess. And basically, sort of the premise is usually at this school, they have five different classes. And the classes 1 and 2 are reserved for members of the nobility, whereas the 3 through 5 are for commoners, but you end up getting thrown into what's called Class 7. And Class 7 is specifically designed to be a mixture of both. So there's people of all different backgrounds in it. Some of them are from the aristocracy, including one individual who's in fact one of the sons of one of the most powerful barons in the empire. And then, you know, there's one of them who is the son of the governor of, I think it's the capital. Yeah, the capital of the empire. He's governor. He's also a commoner. So as you can probably imagine, these two kids don't get along very well.
There's going to be some tension there.
Yeah. And tension is something else that's pretty common in this game. Because I've been led to understand that by the time of the second game, the Empire basically descends into full-on civil war. But, yeah, and basically what it is the instructor for this particular class is, her name is Sarah. And they don't really reveal it until a little later on in the game. But honestly, if you've played Trails in the Sky already, you can kind of already guess she's a bracer. That's what she like. If you've played, you know, Legend of Heroes games before, you know that bracers in general tend to sort of march to the beat of their own drummer, and that's basically Sarah to a T.
Yeah.
And so there's that. There's all the different faculty at the school, and all of them have their own clubs. There's the chick who's the head of the literary club, who basically spends her time writing boys' love stories.
Naturally.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. They also got, this one also has full voice acting. Granted, they only use any piece of dialogue once in the whole game. So, you know, there are times when, you know, for example, your player character, even though he has dialogue, is still silent.
Yeah.
And everybody else has voice acting for some reason. Yeah. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely leading to something big. And I actually would not be surprised if at some point that all of these Legend of Heroes games, be it Trails in the Sky, Trails of Azure, Trails of Cold Steel, all of Trails of Zero, are all leading up to probably this one big sort of epic, like maybe 4 or 5 game series where basically the whole, where it's like a continent-wide story.
Mm.
And just that would be all, amazing.
And all of the old characters sort of get involved. Because I'm already seeing some crossover here. And yes, old Blondie himself finally makes an appearance.
Well, I think it's at the point now where if Falcom ever left him out of a game, people would riot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also get to meet his little brother and his little sister, who is, he's a spunky one. And way too precocious for her own good. I'm going to just say that right now.
You do kind of understand why he spends so much time in Liberal.
Yeah. It kind of runs in the family, apparently.
Yeah.
Basically, his Oliver, it's Oliver. It's Oliver. Oliver's little sister is like a little female version of him. So, yeah. So, yeah, I've been playing that, and I've also been playing the current indie hit of the day, which is Owlboy.
I love that it's hit of the day. The indie themes, they're so great. They really are.
Yeah. It's basically, this game, it was like in development for 9 years. And it shows, in a good way. It has got this amazing, pixel art that is, it's breathtaking. There's so much detail that they put into it. And the universe itself that they've created is really fascinating. It's very Miyazaki-esque. Basically, it's a sort of a Metroidvania-type game where you are actually not limited by... Instead of... how can I put it? Basically, you can fly. Like, through the whole game. There's no, like, meter or how long you can fly. You can just jump, fly, you can fly. But the thing is, you don't actually have an attack of your own. So what happens is you've got all these companions with you who, when you get up in the air, you basically carry them around, and they've all got their own various attacks. The first guy you end up being your partner is a dude with a blaster, and so he basically acts as the basic shooter. Yeah. Lots of puzzles, lots of character development. It's one of those games you've got to... The screenshots themselves are astounding, but they have nothing on actually seeing this game in action.
Yeah.
It's that damn good looking. This is one of those games that I wish we could have gotten. It's one of those games where one of those really high-end, pixel games, that action games that you get on, like, the PlayStation back in the day.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. I haven't gotten too far into it yet. I'll probably talk about it more when I've gotten further in, but it's good.
It has been getting a fair amount of hype.
Yeah.
I'll probably check it out. Maybe buy it later today.
All right. What about you, Teresa?
I have been playing Forza Horizon 3 and enjoying that quite a bit.
Which is weird because I don't typically hear to see you playing racing games.
Why not? no, I mean,
I think it's the first time you've ever talked about them on the show.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They make the rounds in our house, and I'm usually not the ones playing them, but I thought, hey, why the hell not? And I'm really liking it. I like going and doing the barn finds and seeing what's out there. Pat, you're currently on my racing team, actually.
Don't you just love that whole atmosphere that it generates of just road tripping through a set area with a bunch of your friends?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, it's a shame you don't have my drivatar in there, because he would probably just like veer off randomly and go in a different direction for no apparent reason. Because that's what my drivatar seems to do.
Well, need to log more hours.
This other guy that I podcast with from Michigan, we do a Pokemon Go podcast, and we've done some others in the past. He's on there, and his drivatar seems to be the one that just, for whatever reason, doesn't keep up, or he's like 5 miles down the damn road. I'm like, dude, come back. Where are you going? Where are you going? We got to do an Envoy race here.
Yeah.
Does mine just drive sideways all the time?
No, I run into you a lot. You're always in the wrong spot. I don't know what to say. Well, Scott runs into you a little bit more, but yeah, they've tried it too, but they're not so great. Mm. But it's been a lot of fun. I really liked the events in there, and the exploration aspect of it. It's just kind of fun. And then today, to give my my right hand a break, because it is still kind of not very happy, I did finally buy Civ 6 today.
Hmm.
And I don't know what I think yet. It's always like that when you get it, and it's completely freaking different, but still the same, but completely different.
Yeah.
So we'll see by the end of the day how I feel about that one. the views on it and everything, I mean, I knew that they were changing the graphics and bringing more detail in the cities and things, and it's got a lot going on. It's really quite a bit to process mentally after 700 freaking hours of Civ 5. That and still Pokemon Go. They just finished up the Halloween event, and I did quite nice in that. So
I didn't do quite as well as I wanted to, but no, I think I did decently.
Yeah, it wasn't so much about, well, I have several high IV Meowths, and I'm saving them because I know trading is coming. I'll probably take not Meowths, Persians, and I'll probably take my favorite and keep that and power it up a little bit. But I also took advantage of the reduced time in order to get your buddy to give you some candy. And then, of course, catching and getting double candy for new ones. So that helped out a lot. It did a lot of evolutions. And my Pokedex is coming along quite nicely. And 1 week I finally hit the caught 2,000 Pokemon badge. And then the next week, I hit the 2,000 Pokestops badge, which is a little insane because I have done absolutely no cheating or spoofing with this game at all.
Yeah.
So that's why I still have tennis elbow and a very sore arm from playing Pokemon Go. Lots of ibuprofen. Yeah, what about you, Chris?
So I've been playing a good bit of Hitman with the sixth and final episode that released this past week. And that is a really cool level. It's set in Hokkaido, Japan, in a special hospital up in the mountains that is secluded because they do illegal procedures like stem cell treatments and such. And what's really cool is that the outfits have RFID tags to determine where you're able to go. So there's no finding keys or stuff to, or lock picks or anything like that to get into different rooms. You have to just figure out how to get somebody's outfit to try to get like the staff outfits to get into various areas. And they do some really cool design work with that because everybody in the staff has icons on their back. And those are labeled on the doors. Sort of like a, here's who can go in this way sort of thing, which is really cool on the design front. Just looks really good. And this map, you have to take out this guy named Soders, who we found out in the previous episode that, oh, there's another organization called Providence that has seemingly infiltrated the ICA. And so they figure out that Soders is probably the big guy for this. Got rid of him, and he's going to this facility to get work on his heart, because he has this thing called Sidus Inversus, which is all of his internal organs are reversed in his body. So he's getting a heart transplant. And along with that, there is a Yakuza lawyer that works with this mysterious company that you also have to take out, which there's a real good setup for doing yoga with her. And this yoga just happens to be set up on a cliff. So you get her to a certain point, just push her off to her death down in these springs, these hot water springs. And I imagine there's some other really cool stuff to do with her and the other guy. You can do a variety of things. There's like an AI that runs this whole place, which is how it's able to tell based on the RFIDs which places you're allowed to go. And you can mess with him. The thing I did is I went to the morgue, found where his new heart was, and just crushed it.
That works.
And threw it in the trash can. And so like I didn't have to go and kill anybody or anything like that. It's like, oh, he's going to die anyway because his heart is dead.
Yeah, that's actually a clever way of going about it. It's surprising that they actually thought of that.
Yeah, though,
just making it a plot point.
Yeah, one of the things they hint at is you being able to mess with the AI while he's in surgery. Which is another thing I'm looking forward to replaying this map a bit.
And trying that out.
Yeah. And I've also been playing some more of the earlier stuff. I got my mastery level on the Paris level up to 20, which gives me... I got two cool weapons out of it. One is a gun that can survive frisks. So when you get patted down for checks and all that, you can get it past it, but it only has 5 shots. It's not like a permanent thing if you're going to go... Yeah. Into the shooting business, but it's good enough to be able to have some backup options. The other one is a baton, a collapsible baton, which I like because just the animation of hitting the dude with it, knocking him out, is just funny to me for whatever reason. This is due to me just usually throwing knives into people's heads, knives and screwdrivers into people's heads. That's how if it had proper stat tracking, it would tell me my favorite weapon is either the screwdriver going into somebody's head or a knife being thrown into somebody's head. So this guy where I just beat him on the head and knocks him out. And I just try and throw him over a ledge to their death. Just see what happens. In this couple runs, I was mainly focusing on getting into the big auction they have, secret auction, where they're selling various secrets that various heads of state will pay for, like a Middle Eastern sheik to go and try and get his outfit, which is pretty funny because he's hanging out in this one area. I go to the bathroom, just turn on the sinks, let them overflutter, turn on the radio. And he just like, oh, I got to go turn this off. Like, he's a sheik. He shouldn't even be bothering with any of that shit. It's like, oh, I got to go turn off this radio. Oh, here comes the guy, and he just stabbed you in the head. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that game's a lot of fun. Still enjoy playing it. I'm looking forward to playing some more of the other levels, trying to get my mastery up, because I know there's like an explosive rubber ducky toy that is something I really need to have.
Yeah.
In my arsenal. And there's also one that's tied to the Hokkaido level that's in, I think, the Colorado level, the fifth one. That is a thing that'll let you actually hack the little RFID reading pads to be able to go through without having to have the right clothes.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool, though. The way it surfaces that in that level makes you think it's something you can go find somewhere.
Yeah.
But so a lot of people are like getting confused, like, oh, where's this thing at? Where am I going to go find it? It's like, no, it's, you gotta earn it. Because the other thing about the Hokkaido level is you cannot carry anything in with you, because you're a patient. Okay. You can't have any contraband on you. So you have to go in essentially naked with your robe on, your patient's robe. You kind of have to start from scratch, which is another cool trick, much like the fifth episode where as soon as you get into that level, it's all hostile territory.
Yeah.
So it's a... they got some really cool twists for this, and I guess they're supposedly hinting at season 2 being a thing they're going to do for next year, so I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of that. Because they have pretty much nailed this game as perfectly as they could.
Yeah.
Compared to what it was originally, as like a weird early access thing where you pay $60 and you get half the content. And when you're going to get the rest, who knows?
Yeah.
I've also been playing more PlayStation VR. I got a new batch of videos that'll be going up on our YouTube channel probably tonight once I get them edited. I played the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare Jackal Assault VR experience.
Okay.
That's what they call it, which is a kind of a flight sim-ish, not really much on the sim, but sort of a space shooter thing, sort of like the Eve Valkyrie thing.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty. And it's pretty good, but it's not even 10 minutes long.
Oof.
It's kind of got a weird, like, oh, you got this many hits, this many kills. Try again. What? Since it's not even 10 minutes, it doesn't really have a leaderboard or anything to it, so it's like, why do I want to keep playing this?
Yeah.
But it was one of the first like cockpit games where I could actually move my headset away from where my body was at and look at the head, the weird headless body that I'm taking control of. It runs well. There's a little bit of jankiness just from the animations of the ship. It's just real weird to try to control it. The other game I played is My Genesis VR, which initially brought to mind Oh My Goddess, the anime.
Yeah.
But this is more of a god sim sort of game, where you are taking control of these, you're basically God on this planet, and essentially kind of help out the little creatures that are on this planet survive and accomplish the various missions it asks you to do. In the first level I played outside of the tutorial, I was helping them do some things, and eventually dinosaur showed up. I was like, how the hell am I gonna, cause you can't kill the dinosaur, just try and keep it away from your guys or so to eat them all. And mine ate all but one, and it's like, ah, game over. You're gonna learn procreate or anything. So also along the way there's like meteorites that'll crash into the planet, so you gotta actually hold out the gloves that you're using with the move controllers and sort of block them, which is a pretty cool little thing. It has a little bit of problem with tracking, so my gloved hands move around a bit. trying to grab onto the planet to sort of scroll around to the other side. Doesn't work as well as I would like.
Hmm. Yeah, part of me thinks that Sony's going to be replacing those Move controllers as an input method sooner rather than later.
I could see that happening maybe around E3 time.
Yeah.
That seems like a good thing that VR has, is where it's kind of more modular.
Yeah.
Be able to add or subtract things to improve it, as like we've seen with the Vive's new prototype controllers for what they're looking to put out at some point next year. But it was a $3 game, so it wasn't too much of a commitment to it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that. That's also going to be another video. And the third game I played is Eve Gunjack, which is the other Eve VR game.
Mm.
Which the other one is Valkyrie, which is very much like a sort of arena-ish space shooter.
Yeah.
This one you're controlling a turret on a mining ship.
Mm.
So you're kind of in more of a stationary spot, but looking around at various waves of ships coming in and trying to take them out, as well as managing your reload, which takes a good bit of time. So you're kind of trying to figure out, okay, I've taken these guys out. There seems to be a couple seconds, so I'm going to try and reload real quick, that sort of stuff. Trying to get 3 stars on each level, which eventually leads into unlocking further levels. So I've generally been pretty good on the first few, like 4 or 5 levels, getting all 3. Yeah. I can definitely see it getting much harder as you're building up a multiplier as you take out guys. And you get once, it just resets.
Hmm.
So it's about trying to get those good runs going where you're not taking any hits and building up the score quickly. Then after you complete the level, it'll tally up even more scores based on your longest runs, how many enemies you take out, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So some decent stuff. I've had my time with VR this past week shortened just through baseball.
Yeah.
So that happens to start about the same time I would think about doing some VR stuff.
Hmm.
So just like, oh, you guys can't start this baseball thing earlier because you're obsessed about the West Coast prime time.
Yeah.
Now we got to have this game that's lasting from 8 till about 12:30 a.m. So you can't make it end at a more normal time. Along with that, I've been getting ready for the PS4 Pro.
Yeah, that's
going to be launching in a few days.
This week, isn't it?
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I put a link on there of Sony announced about 40 or so games that are going to be supporting the PS4 Pro, so I'm putting the ones I can in a PS4 Pro folder so I can start checking out what how they look. Hitman is one of those games, so I'm excited about that.
Mm.
Hoping that the load times are maybe improved with that, but we'll see. Yeah, Ratchet and Clank is on there. A couple other games. Middle-earth
is on there for some reason.
Yeah, Middle-earth is one I'm going to be checking out. I want to download all the DLC so I can have a reason to go back into that game.
Hmm.
And the other thing I need to do is get a new 2-terabyte hard drive in.
Yeah.
So I can put that in. Have a smooth transition over to this.
Well, PS, you have what, a 2-terabyte in your PS4 right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so yeah. Definitely going to need to put a 2-terabyte in the Pro.
Yeah, it comes with one.
At least you can transfer with a network cable now, so you don't have to re-download everything.
Yeah, I might just end up doing the download option just to maybe try and focus on, maybe have these two as sort of independent PS4s for right now.
Yeah.
Until I'm ready to sell off the old one.
Hmm.
And so I'd probably focus on all the PS4 Pro specific stuff. Also sort of checking for updates, just obsessively like, okay, options, check for update. Nothing. Damn it.
I'm not the only one that does that.
A bunch of them have been already updated, like even Neon Chrome, which isn't even on that list, so I already know there's one that's not on there. Yeah, sort of just checking the ones that I know they're supposed to be getting updates. Just seeing when they come in. Some have had them, like the Rise of the Tomb Raider had its a few weeks ago when it launched.
Yeah.
Like it had like a launch update that just improved that even more. So, yeah, I'm pretty much ready to go. As developers have been announcing all the details about what their updates, what their improvements are going to be.
Yeah.
A lot of them are doing like 1080p people get essentially like super sampling version of it where it renders it at like 1440p or 4K and just scales it down.
Yeah.
And 4K people get generally like two different choices. A lot of them are doing like, here's your 4K at 30 FPS, or here's your checkerboard rendering version of 4K at 60 FPS or whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
So we're getting to that weird little area where it's like, yeah, there's some spec stuff to pay attention to, but for the most part, it's much simpler than trying to do that on PC.
Yeah.
Where they don't explain anything for most PC games. Outside of like the Forza stuff I've seen. Like, oh, this one will be easier on the GPU if that's where your weakness is or things like that. So yeah, looking forward to getting that in. But that'll be probably another APM shipping.
Because of course it will be.
That'll be the last one.
Yeah.
He'll make sure and mention it. Just to rub it in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we can get going to the news this week.
All right. So, this first story Pat is very happy about.
Yes. This is one that I've been calling for just about as long as we've been doing the show. Final Fantasy Dimensions 2 finally confirmed for North America.
Mm-hmm.
What took so damn long?
Really? Looks to be a little more integrated with the other Final Fantasy storylines than the previous Dimensions was.
Yeah.
I've been watching footage of this game pretty much since it got announced for Japan, and it looks fantastic.
Hmm. This one's not episodic, is it? It's just one thing.
It would appear so.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are doing a pre-registration deal, at least for Japan right now. What?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. This is weird because it's been out in Japan for ages, so I would think that
perhaps somebody made a mistake there.
Yeah, but I imagine when the similar promotion actually lands over here, we'll get a similar deal. So
yeah. So let's look forward to that, because, that game does look really good.
Yeah. And if you haven't played the original Dimensions, again, I cannot stress enough, download it, play it, enjoy it.
Yeah. If you can play it on a TV, even better.
Yep.
It's like, I don't know, HDMI cable to your TV or just something, but...
Or, a console port someday, we can hope.
Yeah. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Square Enix, you are listening. All right, so I guess you have anything to say about this one, Teresa?
I need to finish playing it, and I'm glad you mentioned playing it on the TV. Mm. I am sitting there thinking, how quickly can I kick that kid off the TV, because I want to do it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, 9 a.m. Yeah. Everybody knows what I'll be trying to do.
Yeah. In other North American release news, it's looks like Neo is going to be handled by Sony as far as North American publishing goes.
All right.
That's good. North American and European, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought Tecmo Koei would have handled this, but apparently, nope.
Yeah.
Well.
Kind of strange.
Yeah.
I don't know. What was Team Ninja's most recent big release?
Dead or Alive Extreme 3.
Unless you count arcades, then there was Dissidia Arcade Edition.
Yeah.
Which they're actually still working on.
Yeah. Characters coming out every week there.
Yeah.
And when Sony's,
sure.
When Sony rolls up with the dump truck money,
yeah,
you probably don't say no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're a mid-tier company like Koei Tecmo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably also means that Sony is, you know, pretty confident in this game that they'll want to actually handle it for themselves. So.
Yeah. And what like I've heard Demon from Souls. People. Yeah. What I've heard from people who've played the demo and have gotten a chance to play it, it's quite a good deal of fun. So, yeah, I guess their confidence is warranted.
Yeah. Well, the demos were a little rough, but it seems to have progressed quite a bit since then. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's looking like something to watch.
How good will the development team feel to get over the finish line on this one?
Oh, man. 10 years? Yeah, I think they're a little sick of it by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that as release dates become available. Next up, we got Dragon Quest VIII, January 20th on 3DS.
Ray.
I still need to get 7.
I don't know that I'm going to rebuy this. I mean, it looks like it has some cool new stuff. The quick save is probably the biggest thing. But I don't know that I want to rebuy this one.
Yeah. Well, the only reason you would rebuy it is if you actually want to play it on the 3DS, if it's something that you want to take around with you or not, you know, but...
Right.
You know.
Yeah, this is the one I would have been more interested in over 7.
Hmm.
And then it's too bad Square Enix isn't going all the way and doing PS4 and Vita remasters.
Yeah.
Alongside this.
Yeah, that's something they really need to start doing, because... Yeah, they're kind of stuck on the handheld platforms, and
yeah, they're doing it for Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah,
it's getting the PS4 game going.
Yeah,
it's like this would have been so nice to have alongside that, because those two were like the big JRPGs for the late PS2 era.
Yeah, 12 is one I think I'm actually going to buy, because believe it or not, I'm one of the few people who actually liked it.
Hmm.
I only played a few hours of it, but it was good.
It was great coming off of Final Fantasy XI. Yeah. That's basically the same battle system.
Yeah.
Mm.
Except you don't have to deal with people.
No, just your computer people.
Yeah.
You actually more or less have to program them yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they mess up, it's all your fault.
Yeah. Yeah, so it looks like Square Enix kind of actually serious about bringing Dragon Quest over here. So
they said they were.
Yeah, looks like they're starting to show it now, so that's a good thing. I'm sure Lee's going to be buying this one as soon as he hears about it. Which he hasn't already. All right, so this next story is kind of interesting. Well, not really interesting, but kind of sad, actually. Somebody? Bueller?
Yeah, this is my story. It's... Yeah. So Swery, who is well known for games like Deadly Premonition and D4, Dark Dreams Don't Die,
mm-hmm.
He has been battling reactive hypoglycemia for the last year or so. Ew. Has took a break from working at Access Games, sort of running that studio, just to try and get his health in good shape, and finally decided that he's just going to retire from his studio and sort of focus on getting his health in good condition. Says it's been improving, so he'll be fine in at some point, but it's sad to see him have to sort of step away like this.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't completely stopped development. I mean, he did some stuff for Adult Swim Games recently, so...
Yeah, but he's...
But I think he's done taking now it for easy. Now.
He's not running a studio.
Yeah.
Sort of doing all that. He's hanging out with his little stuffed monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And just having his Twitter fun, so
yeah.
Hopefully he gets that all taken care of and can start a new studio and do his weird thing again.
Do his weird That's thing without
good medicine in its own right.
Without all of the executive meddling,
yeah.
Because that's really what was the biggest handicap to Deadly Premonition.
Yeah.
D4 especially was taken down by Microsoft because they refused to publicize it at all.
Yeah.
Until it came out.
Apart from making it one of the games with gold entries for 1 month, but that's about all they did.
There's a whole episode where he's begging people to share word of its release and all that because Microsoft would promote it at launch. It's a fun, silly game from what I've played of it.
Yeah.
So we need more people like him in the industry, so hopefully he gets everything good.
Yeah. Hopefully he recovers and we'll keep doing what he likes to do. Next one here, 999999999
What was it? 9 hours. Nine persons.
9 doors.
9 doors. Yeah.
So they're finally bringing that out of the DS hole.
Yeah.
Bringing it to PS4, Vita, and Steam as a new Zero Escape: The Nunnery Games bundle with adding Virtue's Last Reward to that as like a 2-pack. So they finally bring that original game to the platforms that have all the rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So always good to see games escape handhelds.
Yeah.
I've played both of those games, and I highly recommend them. If you're a fan of visual novels and a fan of locked room games, this is for you.
All right, so this next one here, I guess we'll move on quickly to this, because I don't know how much we have to say about it, but yeah, Valve is now telling developers that they need to actually start showing gameplay on their store pages instead of just concept art.
Good.
Yes, yeah. Good. Show us some actual freaking screenshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even
escalated to a full-blown war on bullshots, and you're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even went so far as to say they've also done that themselves with Dota 2's page.
Yeah.
Sort of gotten rid of all
called the themselves
concept
out.
Art. Just put up their own screenshots.
Yeah. Yep. So, that's going to hopefully start cutting down on the amount of crap that shows up on Steam, because now you're going to actually have to show your game, or at least have a game that is worth showing.
Yeah, there's been a lot of times I've looked at like the Steam sale stuff, look at like the cheap stuff, and it's like, okay, the description tells me it's like this. I want to see what it looks like so I know if it's something I should put my money into.
Yeah, and then you just like, see like, some guy's hand drawn sketch.
Yeah, it looks like how mobile games do on their stores.
Yeah.
Where they minimize the amount of the real estate the screenshots have of actual gameplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just have text all over it. It's like amazing loot system. I can't see it. It's already a small screen. Your actual gameplay shot is even smaller than that.
Yeah.
I would just love to see how much indigestion this is causing in marketing departments.
Oh yeah.
But this is good, you know.
Yeah.
It's the companies that do like shovelware and stuff can't really get away with.
Which are all mobile developers.
Crap anymore. So. Yeah. Nothing but good
Apple
here.
Google don't do this on their own storefronts.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But given that on, you know, those mobile games are typically freemium, so you don't really lose anything by getting into it. Here on Steam, not so much.
Right. Because
they want to charge for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, BlizzCon happened this week.
Yep. Things were revealed.
Yeah. Overwatch. Brand new character.
Sombra, which they've been kind of sort of hinting at pretty much since the game was released.
Yeah. And this keeps in the tradition of Blizzard, like, slowly rolling out new content for that game as they promised they would.
Yeah. She is basically Lara Matsuda with a Mexican accent.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed that.
She is a hacker. Her whole sort of moveset is based around sort of a cyberpunk aesthetic.
Yeah.
He is kind of divisive, to say the least. I've seen people who love her a lot and people who find her insufferable. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. But hey, you know, in any game like this, you're not going to like every single character, so too bad for that.
Yeah, I kind of wish the character design was a little bit better or different. Because that sort of shaved half of the head look is all over video games.
Yeah.
Reminded me of the main character from Velocity 2X, who is the same exact look, except she's blonde.
Yeah.
I'm going to post a picture of that in the chat.
Yeah. And they also, along with Sombra, they also announced two new maps. Pretty cool there.
Two new maps and an arcade mode with some new playable modes in it.
Yeah. So, Overwatch is going to get an arcade mode before Street Fighter V does. Let me just point that out. Not that we're bitter, but...
No, we're not like... bitter.
Yeah, it seems like this is going in the direction of expanding the pub brawls system.
Yeah.
So instead of just having like one mode, there's potentially like a bunch of different mixed up stuff.
Yeah.
That could go from like 1v1 matches to 3v3 or 6v6.
Yeah.
Sort of stuff. Let's them play around more with the variety of options they have for that stuff, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and they also announced an Overwatch esports league called Overwatch League, so you know what you're getting into there.
Exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah,
descriptive names. Yeah, that must be their MLG stuff coming into play.
Yeah, yeah. Overwatch seems to be a game that's been very successful for them.
Yeah,
probably a bit more than they expected it would be, because it just kind of took off.
Not so sure about that. Blizzard's been making big bucks ever since World of Warcraft, and anytime a new Blizzard IP comes out, that's big. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. But they probably had their expectations, and this game probably eclipsed those.
Oh yeah, so, sure.
Yeah, especially being a debut on console game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff from Blizzard so far. They also announced some Diablo 3 news, which I'm very happy about.
Mm-hmm.
This one's actually really cool. They're going to be including a remake of Diablo 1 inside of Diablo 3 as a free expansion. It's just going to be part of the patch.
Yeah, it's a new dungeon that's 16 levels deep.
Yeah.
Facing all the four bosses from the original game.
Yeah.
I guess adding new... retro visual filter things.
Yeah.
So like special graphic filters and limiting the movement to 8 directions. Because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might as well. As long as they keep it consistent and make it so that the enemies also have that limit, which they did in the original, then it'll be okay. Because, if you have that limitation, they don't. Yeah, that's going to be a problem. But yeah, this is very, very cool. It's going to be coming to the PC and consoles. Next week, if you want to check it out early, you can check it out on the public test realm. So that's going to be pretty cool. I'll probably jump in on that and see what's going on there. But I'll probably end up playing more of that on the console. And speaking of the console version of Diablo 3, it is getting, finally, season mode.
Yeah.
Why it took so long, I don't know.
Yeah, we jump in on Season 10.
Yeah. So, I'm going to be playing that because season modes are a lot of fun. You basically start a new character each season, get as far as you can, hopefully you get to 70, which shouldn't really take that long if you play a few hours a night. It's not that hard to get to.
Nope. Yeah, just a few hours a night.
Just a few hours a night, yeah, no big deal. So yeah, and apart from that, what else is they? Oh yeah, they're going to be the Necromancer is making a return.
Yep,
you're going to have to pay for him, but that's okay. I'm willing to throw Blizzard a little bit more money for an extra character.
Yep,
yeah, a couple years after the last time you had to pay them.
Yeah, get your money's worth with that game, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm still playing it. So yeah, that's. Basically, BlizzCon. Any thoughts on what Blizzard is doing, how they're going?
It's cool. They're supporting Diablo 3 as far out from its release, instead of just doing what people are expecting going for Diablo 4.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be that much of a surprise as, they kept updating Diablo 2. I think the last patch they did was like 2 years ago, so that game came out in 2001. So, yeah. I'm pretty sure the next interesting expansion is probably going to be either a remake of Diablo 2 or Diablo 4 or whatever they end up doing there.
Yeah.
I'm still looking for the Blackthorn reboot.
Yes.
They got the skill there to do it now.
That would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or Lost Vikings. Yeah.
more Lost Vikings, more, give us some more freaking rock and roll racing. You can afford the rights to the music now. So.
Yeah, they can.
They can afford all of the music.
Yep.
Yeah, just let the indies make rock and racing clones. Rock and roll racing clones.
So good stuff from Blizzard, mostly.
Yeah, they could probably do those sorts of games as like digital things on consoles and Battle.net.
Yeah.
Doom is like, oh, we just threw this together in 18 months.
Thrown together in 18 months. That's like the typical development cycle of a AAA game, but whatever.
Well, for Blizzard, look how long it took for them to make Overwatch, and that was a failed version of their previous attempt at that game.
Yeah.
True.
We couldn't make this other thing, so we just threw it into a multiplayer shooter that's one of the best games we've made in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, good old Blizzard.
Oops, we failed to make an MMO. We came out with a really popular shooter.
Yep.
Finally, next up we got Iron Galaxy is announcing a balance survey for KI. You want to fill us in on this details of this, Pat?
Sure. It's pretty much the same as ones that they've done in the past. They're very extensive. They want, you know, detailed notes from players who take part in it. So they're kind of eschewing the people who might go, oh, nerf this because I hate it.
Yeah.
They actually want you to justify your argument and, you know, name some things that you've encountered that maybe they could replicate and make judgments on.
Hmm.
Interesting thing about it is the timing, because Season 3 is long in the rearview mirror by now. It seems like they might be getting ready to put forth a Season 4. Which I didn't really think was going to happen at all.
Yeah. Either that, or they're looking to do an Ultimate Edition of some sort.
It could be interesting.
Also a possibility. Because, yeah. Well, yeah, if you buy KI Season 3 right now, if you get it on PC or Xbox One, you can buy the whole thing and get it all. So,
yep.
For $60. Yeah, Season 4, I wonder what characters would show up, because they're kind of running out of them.
All of the old ones are in now.
Yeah.
So
they would all have to be originals.
Yep.
Yeah. Or all crossovers. No, don't want that.
Please, no. Nope.
Unless it's Conker. I just want...
I just don't think that would work.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it'd work.
Wonder if they could, you know, get a hold of somebody over at Arc System Works and get Billy or Jimmy Lee in there.
That'd be kind of amusing.
Yeah.
Well, you got Rash. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've got Team Ninja proving that licensing is easy these days.
Yeah. I'm gonna license everything these days. From SNK to Sega characters.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, speaking of SNK, they got some stuff going on here.
Yes, they launched
a brand new website, which seems to have Flash on it for some reason.
SNK Entertainment, we've talked about this before on the show. It's their sort of transmedia arm. They're looking to form partnerships to get their IPs out there in forms beyond just video games.
Yep.
And the website they've set up for it is pretty impressive so far. It doesn't include any real announcements, but there are definitely some intriguing projects that are hinted at.
Yeah. Especially if you like pop over into the achievements page.
Mm-hmm.
There's some telling things there based on the imagery that they're showing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good stuff there. It's good to see SNK like actually doing what they said they're going to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Along with that, they've actually officially dropped the Playmore moniker.
Yep. It's SNK now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, legally, that won't be the case until December 1st. Unofficially, they've done it since before the release of King of Fighters 14.
Yeah.
So this is just some legal corporate maneuvering, but it'll be nice to see it go official at the start of next month.
Yeah.
They got their new URL, which be snk-corp.co.jp. And I'm guessing, just based on them announcing this ahead of time, that we're probably going to see some new projects on that new site when it launches.
Yeah. So. Wouldn't really want to launch a whole new site just to show KOF 14, which has already been out for a few months.
Yeah.
So that's... And the interesting thing is, that's going to coincide with Capcom Cup and whatever Capcom has to announce about the future of Street Fighter V. So things in the fighting game community, they tend to happen all at once.
Yeah.
So...
And SNK was at PSX last year, so I'd imagine they'll probably be there again this year.
Mm-hmm.
So
that the timing is really interesting on that.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for sure.
Yep. We will wait with bated breath, as they say.
Yep.
And now we get to the exciting news of the week, and this was one that kind of came out of nowhere.
Yep. Yeah.
Sega is apparently remembering that they were good at arcade racers and decided to make a new one.
Yep.
It's a game that nobody's really heard of. Daytona USA or some sort of thing like that.
The official name of this one, Daytona 3 Championship USA.
Yeah.
Word
salad.
Yeah. Everything that they're saying about this game sounds really interesting. It'll be announced at the IAAPA show about next week.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a show that kind of falls under the radar of the gaming industry because it's mainly focused on amusement parks and, you know, things like that, which is probably an ideal place to advertise arcade games in 2016.
Yep.
Yeah.
They have a lot of interesting things to say about this cabinet that they're making. I mean, this is a new arcade hardware for Sega.
Yeah.
And you've got the marquee, which itself is a 27-inch display, which is there for spectators, and thereby attracting more people to the machine.
Yeah.
There are some pretty extensive smart maintenance tools.
Hmm.
Which they're calling the Sega IQ Intelligent Service Menus, basically to assist in troubleshooting. I mean,
that's
something that we've needed for quite some time.
Oh, yeah.
The cabinet is going to be an absolute work of art. You'll be able to link up to 8 of them together for multiplayer.
Yeah.
I mean... Unlikely that I will see a full 8-player setup for Daytona 3 in my area, but even just seeing it online will be a treat. I'm really excited to see what they come up with here. As much of the AM2 team from the 90s that they could get have been hired on to work on the project, including, perhaps most importantly, Takenobu Mitsuyoshi.
Of course.
Who will undoubtedly be composing the soundtrack and doing some vocals on it, as he is wont to do.
Yeah.
One thing that's caused a little bit of indigestion is the arcade-only hashtag that Sega has kind of put out in support of this game. It makes sense, though. Arcade proprietors... need assurance that they're not going to lose their entire player base a year after they buy a, you know, maybe $14,000 arcade machine. Mm-hmm. And in Sega's own words, throwing them the occasional exclusive every now and again isn't going to hurt much. Mm-hmm. It does suck to know that this game probably is never going to find its way to consoles unless arcade sales really aren't good. But, I think there are some ways that Sega can make it up, particularly in the way of other Daytona ports. There's a lot of stuff they could do. The Daytona Dreamcast version could be brought to modern consoles.
You can finally bring Daytona 2 to console.
Which has never been to console.
Yeah.
Scud Race, which has never been to console. I mean, they have options, but in the moment right now, I just have to say it's good to see signs of life from Sega in the way of arcade racing, even if it's not a dream situation where the game's going to be in every one of our hands, you know, in short order. This is a step that they kind of have to take, and it's a good Sega move to make, supporting arcades, doing what they can to sustain that culture.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, if you're going to try to revitalize the arcades, you need to have a reason to go there.
Yep.
So if you can only play this particular game there, that's going to drive people there. Yep. People want to play Daytona. They've wanted to play Daytona for years. So yeah, that's going to be good for a lot of arcade operators.
And you know that they didn't make this hardware just for one game.
Oh no. Yeah,
you don't make strides like this for just a one-off.
Yeah.
So this is probably pointing to new Sega Rally, new Outrun. Doesn't even have to be racing games. I mean, it's just a good, solid arcade hardware in and of itself. And, you know, you have games that you know wouldn't be arcade exclusive that could still go there on this hardware, like Virtua Fighter 6, perhaps.
Yeah,
I could definitely see that 27-inch marquee coming in handy for Virtua Fighter.
Yeah,
especially with some of the crowds that game generates.
Yeah. I have a feeling this game is gonna help make Dave and Buster's a lot of money.
Yeah,
I'm already planning my trip.
Yeah, play this one and. How far would you guys go to play a VR edition of Space Harrier?
I'm kind of an odd person to be asking that question to because travel just does not happen often for me. But
I'd be willing to travel to be able to play that game. So
yeah.
That would be another good Sega IP to be able to reboot Space Harrier. We haven't seen that in a while. Last time we saw Afterburner was, I think, Climax on the PS3.
Pretty much any of the Yu Suzuki projects from the 80s could be brought back for this.
Yep. Could do a whole lot of that. Yeah, I like where Sega's going with this direction, you know, even though I probably won't get to play this on my PS4 or Xbox One. Still.
I still think they're going to be doing some ports to generate hype.
Yeah.
And I'd be perfectly content with just Daytona Dreamcast, Daytona 2.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see there.
Maybe as a double pack.
Yeah. And then Cruisin' Blast got announced.
Also an arcade game.
Yeah. This one was a little bit surprising. Wait, who's handling development for this one?
I have no idea.
Is it Raw Thrills? Either way.
We just know it's not Midway.
Yeah, because they don't exist anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is another arcade game. Going to be... I'm not sure how many people were expecting this one. I don't think anybody was. Last time we saw Cruisin' was Exotica, and that was like late 90s.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see how that one turns out.
Is this going to be like the beginning of like an arcade renaissance or something?
We can only hope.
Yeah. Arcade racing, hey, it's a thing that people like. You should make some of those.
Yeah.
Nintendo's
backing it.
Really?
Their logo is on the cabinet.
I didn't expect that. Well, then again, they do
Nintendo
have,
has
do have
been,
the rights, the Cruisin'.
Nintendo has been involved in the arcade market off and on in recent years.
Yeah.
So it's not...
More importantly, I think they hold the IP to Cruisin', so they kind of have to be there.
Yeah, okay. But here's... I'm actually going to be the one dropping a screenshot in the chat for once. Here's the cabinet.
Yep. So...
Doesn't look quite as busy as the Daytona one is purported to be. and we'll probably be seeing that next week, but it certainly is, it catches the eye.
Yeah
definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
a blind man could see that.
It's kind of loud.
Yeah. It looks like Exhibit got to it first.
Yeah. It's already been pimped. Pre-pimped.
And the Nintendo logos on it are not small either, so they're...
No, good stuff there. And, of course, Ridge Racer is kind of going to see another iteration on mobile.
Yeah.
Draw and Drift is what this one is being called.
It is utterly carcinogenic, but a sign of life. And hopefully what we're seeing from Sega and Nintendo here will sort of serve as a call to arms and get...
Yeah.
Get proper Ridge Racer games, back to the forefront.
Yeah.
Because we've gone far too long and had no signs of Ridge Racer 8.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
Yeah. This one here is, I think, the second or so mobile Ridge Racer game. And then there was Unbounded and Driftopia, which we shall
try to
forget about. Mm-hmm. Because those did not go well.
Unbounded had a really cool user creation thing.
Yeah.
But it had a really not cool everything else.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun to play it at all.
It was almost Trackmania-esque in that track creator sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to get in on that split looks like second it's money. Do that same thing. Yeah.
But yeah.
I could do without action racers for quite a while. Bring back the proper arcade style, and that's what we're seeing here. So, just give us a few years of that. I will be good for quite a while.
Yeah. It's also, we're also getting Drift Stage soon, so let's not forget about that.
Well, the timing on that sure worked out interestingly.
Yeah. So while we're, praising Sega for being awesome, we should probably also take a look at Sonic Mania again, because it's really awesome.
Yeah.
Watch this video and then wonder why they weren't able to make this game earlier.
Yeah. Did any of you guys notice what stage that was?
They're calling it Mirage Saloon, but we know it is something else.
Yes, it's Dust Hill Zone.
Yes, it is.
Well, an unfinished stage that was supposed to be in, I think it was Sonic 2?
Yep.
That never got finished.
Was never even in the final code. It's not something that you can dig up with a Game Shark or something. But it existed in screenshot form, I think like in an old issue of Sega Visions or something, and was never discussed again. And from what I've seen, comparing those screenshots to what we're seeing in the video, they're actually replicating some of those assets, for this modernized engine, of course, that is largely Saturn-based. Mm-hmm. And, it feels like in a single game they're doing everything they can to atone for everything this franchise has ever done wrong.
Yeah. Now, if this is a sign of, Sonic 2017, even though that game is going in a different direction, if that's the quality Generations level 2, that they're shooting for, if that's the quality level they're shooting for, I am all for this.
Finally, Sonic the Hedgehog will no longer be the industry joke.
Yeah.
Which has really been the case for far too long.
Yeah.
Don't catch your chickens before they hatch.
Or your flickies, as they might be.
Yeah.
And you a fan of Sonic, Teresa? You looking forward to any of this?
Yeah, I will end up picking it up. If it reviews well, it's not going to be one of my gotta-have-it-right-aways. But yeah, we've played most of them. I've been playing some crap on mobile lately, too.
Well, there's a really good Sonic 2 port on mobile.
Not all of it's bad, Phil. Not all.
No, well, that's true. It's not that I have a problem with mobile. It's the only problem I have with mobile is I can't use it. Yeah. That's my problem with mobile.
That's a big problem.
That Sonic 2 port needs to find its way to console somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, or...
I have Ultimate Genesis Collection, so I'm okay there.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, there's stuff in the mobile version that you won't find on Genesis Collection.
Well,
they
you
really can. they reclaimed as much of that game as they possibly could have. Like Hidden Temple is in there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really is the Sonic 2 Ultimate Edition.
Yeah. What I would really like to see is a Sonic Ultimate Anthology. All of the games HD remastered.
That'd be nice. I was going to say, I mean, you could just...
You know, with Sonic Mania, they've got the engine in place to do it.
Now, when you say all of the games, you mean the 2D ones, right?
Yeah, like I said, all of the games.
Nice. We're just pretending that the 3D ones don't exist. That's I get it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, Sonic 1, 2, 3, Knuckles, and the Spinball. I mean, that's all the Sonic games.
And then the franchise just kind of goes dark for about a decade.
Yeah.
You just close her eyes, stick our fingers in her ears.
Not can't hear you.
Well, do you ever play your mobile games use a Chromecast to send them over to a larger screen?
No, I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah, you can.
I think latency would be a problem.
Nah, it's not that bad. Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't tried
Sonic.
It. It's not that bad. I haven't tried it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if a game supports Chromecast, you probably do it, unless you do Chrome screen mirroring.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Don't know. Don't try that. So yeah, good stuff from Sega. We like this approach. And which kind of leads us into our Facebook topic of the week. What other companies do you think could benefit from the approach taken by Sega and SNK?
Capcom.
Wow.
That didn't take long. Yeah, Capcom is a company that really could benefit from a little revitalization over there. Yeah, their Resident Evil, especially, they kind of don't really remember what the game was about anymore. It's become something entirely different.
You had Neo G leaving just for lack of anything to do.
Yeah. That's bad when you got really good talent there that's not doing anything.
Yeah.
You're paying him to sit around and be bored. That's never a good thing.
You've got a recent action RPG IP that came out, and you're just sort of letting it languish now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe another Dragon's Dogma. That would be nice.
Yeah.
And maybe, stop trying to pimp Street Fighter and maybe start making some more Mega Man.
Yeah, if they could do, Mega Man in 2D again, then, I mean, they did 9 and 10, and those worked really well.
Yeah. The interesting thing there, though, is if we're talking about genuinely following the trajectory of Sega and SNK, that would involve them making nice with Keiji Inafune.
I don't know that he's kind of willing to do that at this point, and... Given how well Mighty No. 9 went, he probably doesn't want to go back to that well yet.
Well, I mean...
I can see why Capcom would be reluctant as well.
Yeah. I would say try and get back the guy who actually created Mega Man, but he's been retired for a while now.
Well, you throw enough money his way, he might be willing to come back. You never know. But, yeah, so Capcom is definitely a candidate.
Yeah, I'd say Namco. They're a company that has a rich arcade history, and they go back to three properties: Pac-Man, Dig Dug, and Galaga.
And even then, they don't always. Every console that comes out, those games always come out on it.
Yeah. You don't see Mappy making a return, some form.
Well, Tekken's lived in the arcades pretty consistently. Like, people still complain about how long it takes Tekken games to get console ports.
Yeah.
What we should also remember is that Bandai Namco, despite the games that we get here, there are a ton of Bandai Namco arcade games that come out in Japan that we never see.
Oh, yeah.
They're still doing pretty well in the arcades over there. I think the obvious one at this point is Konami.
Yeah, that was going to be my pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they've kind of burned everything down, and they really need to.
I don't think that it's a lost cause at this point.
No, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah. A lot of work is a little different from a lost cause, though.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure once they went all in on the Apache slot thing, I'm sure they ran right head on into the same exact environment that drove SNK out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to be, you know, sometime in 2017 or if it's going to take a little longer than that. Konami will become a game company again.
Yeah.
And it's just, it would be nice if a part of that movement involved, looking back to their glory days, you know, to try and rebuild themselves. But if you've still got people there who are chasing after the AAA money only, I don't know. I want to believe it can happen.
Yeah.
There are a lot of franchises that, frankly, that deserve to be a part of 8th Generation.
Yeah.
And could do really well on 8th Generation. But Konami is just lost right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Metal Gear Survive and that Chinese-only mobile Contra game doesn't really inspire much confidence. So, yeah, we'll need to do something. How about you, Teresa? Do you have a pick?
I would also say Konami.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for all the reasons stated.
I would actually also put forward Square Enix to a certain extent, because they've got a bunch of old IPs that they've let languish for so long.
Yeah.
That they could do with reviving some of them. Rayman Musashi, for example.
Yeah.
Bushido Blade, Einhander.
Yeah, Square Enix seems to be occupying a really weird middle ground right now.
Yeah, Square Enix is really weird because they're a very schizophrenic company. They've got that, they've definitely got the Japanese RPG, you know, roots that we all grew up with, and they seem to still be trying to serve. Then there's the big AAA money that they're going for with Final Fantasy 15 and
Deus presumably Ex, Tomb Raider, all that Deus stuff.
Yeah. And that's the IDIS side of things, and then there's, you know, the smaller stuff like Tokyo RPG Factory, and yeah, it's, they've got issues, and I think they would be better off if they split that company. Hmm. Split out IDIS back into its own thing, and yeah, focus on the RPGs. But that's just me.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. So, I wonder if there's any other companies that we could probably revitalize today. So we've talked about the big ones, but, well, this might be controversial, but Nintendo is definitely up there.
No, yeah, I can totally go with that one.
It's fair.
Yeah. This is a company that's kind of been lost the past couple of years. Looks like they may be on the right track with the Switch, but yeah, that initial marketing video and the caveats that came with it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to have to wait till January 19th to find out what the hell's going on with that.
Yeah.
And to see if they're actually going to deliver what we think they're going to deliver. And that's not a great place to be.
No. You know,
when you're...
If they shore up on old franchises, that would go a long way.
Yeah, they've got, again, they're another company that's got a bunch of great IPs that they've let languish for so long. And on top of that, they really kind of need to start generating some new ones. I mean, Splatoon was a good start. But you can't over-rely on Mario and Zelda for forever.
No. But if you want to build your base on a new console, having a Mario and a Zelda game at launch is probably not a bad idea.
Which is pretty much what seems to be happening.
Yeah.
Especially that newer Mario game they showed. That looked very interesting. Which
may or may not have been a game.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know what we actually saw. So, yeah. That's
so, I'm like who here, think of, like, some old Nintendo IPs that could come back.
Balloon Fight.
Well, yeah, I mean, the creator passed
away. That would be a hell of a good tribute project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to see Advance Wars come back.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a intelligent systems thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem could have a triumphant return to consoles.
Oh, yeah. A full, like a can you imagine a Fire Emblem game with, like, the maximum, you know, graphic capacity of the Switch behind it?
Yeah.
And no more tiny feet.
No more tiny feet. They've been doing
resolution for the feet.
You know, now they got Monolith with them, they can still churn out some pretty awesome RPGs. God, I'm thinking of some, like, from the Super NES days that just kind of fell by the wayside.
All of the things.
Mother?
Yes.
Well, if Mother does happen, we know that Shigesato Itoi has said he's not going to be involved with it.
Yeah.
He basically said he finished what he wanted to do with Mother 3.
Yeah.
Although maybe a spiritual successor wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
By a new team heavily inspired by the other three games, that'd be good.
Or even just see what they can come up with on their own. Yeah. Like, it doesn't even have to be informed by the Mother series. It just, we have this group of talented RPG developers. Their old producer saw his vision through to the end. Let's see what they can do now.
Yeah. Now, of course, technically, Bayonetta is now technically kind of a Nintendo IP, more or less.
Kind of been adopted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm trying to think.
Pilot Wings might be interesting with
Metroid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, Metroid Prime Federation Force just came out, so you know you can play
Metroid.
That.
Metroid.
And wave that off.
We need a Metroid-ass Metroid game.
Yeah.
Right. I swear, there's like some other stuff that's like at the very fringes of my mind, and I just cannot think of them right now.
Well, I think Pilot Wings would be interesting to see how they would do it with the Switch.
Yeah.
Presumably you'd have Pro Control support on there because you know, that would work pretty well.
You would certainly freaking hope.
Yeah.
I'm going to go way off the board with this one.
Yeah.
Uniracers.
Ooh, that's out of left field.
Yeah. Oh, here's the big sort of obvious one, F-Zero.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure we're going to see F-Zero on the Switch. I have no doubt about that.
Look, we
think that was the controller that Miyamoto's waiting for?
No, I think Miyamoto was saying that because he didn't want to do an F-Zero.
He just doesn't feel like it, so fuck this.
Yeah. Look, Smash Brothers made Captain Falcon a cultural icon. It's time to bring him home.
Yeah.
Well, I know Golden
just spit out some random rhetoric about needing a new controller for it just to shut people up for a while.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Golden Sun has always been a handheld one.
Yes!
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eternal Darkness.
Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem. Yeah. Well, they could, of course, that would require, you know, Silicon Knights is dead. So.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could probably pull that off. Just imagine the mind fucks they could pull off with today's technology.
Oh yeah.
You know, maybe they missed the boat on that one because there's some really fucked up shit they could have done with the Wii U.
Yeah.
Oh god, just imagine suddenly seeing that horrifying corpse head in the Wii U pad just all of a sudden shows up, just...
Yeah. So there's those. Yeah, Nintendo's got a lot of IPs that they could bring back. And it's not a matter of, well, if they should, it's a matter of when.
They could totally do, like, they could go back to, like, the really obscure ones and, like, do, like, a handheld or a mobile version of Devil World.
Yeah. I'm sure the Christian fundamentalists will love that game.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Nobody gives a crap anymore.
No, it's true. This is very true.
Except for them.
You could take some of their really simple concepts from the 80s and 90s, and if somebody says, "Well, no, that's too simplistic. That's not a concept we can build an entire modern game around," find a fucking way.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, we need a new Kid Icarus.
A proper Kid Icarus. Yes, we do need one of those.
I don't get me wrong. I really like Kid Icarus Uprising. But yes, I would like a
Making
more
signs of life.
Yeah. The modern, just he can still have, all the new combat stuff they've given him, with his, his bow basically becoming swords and everything, and that's all cool. Just a proper Kid Icarus action platformer.
Yeah.
What about F-Zero or Excitebike?
You just mentioned F-Zero, but Excitebike.
Excitebike, yes. Excitebike 64 was, well, that actually wasn't that bad.
It was pretty decent.
It was pretty decent. It was just asking more of the N64 than it was capable of delivering, unfortunately.
Mm. I'd also say you could put Star Fox on the menu, just keep Miyamoto the fuck away from it.
Yeah, at this point, I don't trust the Miyamoto anywhere near that franchise. I never thought I would say that.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Being someone who's played Star Fox pretty much since the very first one, Miyamoto's always made no secret that he's never really been that attached to the Star Fox IP. which explains why there's very little continuity between any of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look.
They're all just kind of reboots of themselves.
Yeah. I mean, Crystal is completely gone. She was nowhere to be seen in Star Fox Zero.
Yeah, but she wouldn't have been, because she wouldn't have been there. They wouldn't have, in that timeline, she wouldn't have been there yet.
Right.
So.
Just to give them, and here's the thing. I would not have a problem with another Star Fox Adventures. I mean, I know that for a lot of Star Fox people, that's blasphemy, but I really loved that game, and I could totally see, if Nintendo could get a hold of Rare, that's not going to happen, because they're with Microsoft.
I could see another Star Fox Adventures where they played up the mercenary aspect of it.
Yeah. The biggest problem with the first Star Fox Adventures, as much as I loved it, was twofold. The first one is as everybody knows, it originally was not a Star Fox game. It was a completely new Rare.
Planet.
Yeah. And, a lot of the guts of Dinosaur Planet are still in it, which is fine. And some of the other more Star Fox specific stuff they added was also okay. But the two biggest problems was that they tried to shoehorn in the R-Wings and that completely bullshit last boss fight they tacked on at the end.
And it's not bullshit because it's hard. It's like the easiest thing ever.
Yeah. And it completely comes out of left field. I mean, there is no... just nothing. There is no... There is nothing to in any way, hint that is what's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, that is literally the first time he's brought up in the entire game.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, here he is, and here's the last boss from the SNES game, and he plays exactly the same, too, so there.
Yep.
That was a great addition. So if they do one that's built from the ground up to be a Star Fox game, that could be very good. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, because it's always forgotten. People forget the Star Fox team, they're supposed to be mercenaries.
Yes.
They basically are guns for hire, so...
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Which tells you the sad state of the Cornerian military, that they keep getting dragged into these things.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yep.
And every freaking game starts in the Cornerian capital, too.
Yeah.
Because apparently they always get their asses kicked.
Like, they don't bother to defend the capital city. I mean, really, guys? Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, no, I think they're trying. They just suck at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't hire a basset hound as your general. Just say it. So, yeah, I think we got a show for this week, guys.
If you want to go for one more, I can throw in Warner Brothers, who owns Midway. It's done nothing with that stuff. That's why I put it in Lego Dimensions, like a weird Midway pack in there.
Very good point. Yeah, Warner Brothers is one of the, what we're calling now, the usual suspects.
Yes.
Yeah, they're one of the shadiest AAA publishers around.
They're
right
the
now.
Shadiest AAA publisher around.
They just do Lego, that's all, right now.
Yeah, Lego, you know, they did Batman.
Yeah.
Managed to screw up the PC port of that twice.
Don't forget NetherRealm Studios, they do those too.
Yeah, at least those games come out good.
I could go for another NHL 2-on-2 Open Ice Challenge.
Yeah, EA would, that'd be Midway. Yeah.
Yeah, Warner Brothers.
Yeah. So, yeah, they would be good to revitalize. The question is, do they actually want to? I think they're pretty content with what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just a shame, because...
Am I better off
I
want to
play some of that.
And the recent Atari collection where they released two big discs, part one and part two, and they're like $40 each for Atari games, old Atari games.
Those came out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where? It's like, I don't even remember where the...
And they're out on PS4 and Xbox One. Oh, $20 each.
$20 each.
And I don't think they explain anywhere on the packaging what's in them, except for what you see on the screen. It says like 50 games. Fuck if we're gonna tell you what's in them.
Surprise.
All right, so I guess we're gonna call it a week. It's been quite an eventful one. Remember, guys, if you're not subscribed to the show, go ahead and throw us a subscribe on iTunes. Review us if you want to. It helps us out, helps surface the podcast to other people who might not have seen it,
gives us better visibility.
Please. Yep, so please do that. So with that, I am Filippo Genolfo.
Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Chris Sologi.
And we'll see you next week.
And if you're an American, remember to vote on Tuesday.